All right, Cole, what are you doing this time?
All right, Gary, I have assembled this new stained glass window at the front of my house. At great cost and expense to me.
It's beautiful.
Okay. And I want to use this in order to help us randomize a game, because, you know, it's getting tough. You know, we're getting up on 200 here, and that's exciting. But okay, so I'm going to do something. I'm going to sacrifice all of these all these artisans' work. All right, step back for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The new Ghostbusters movie is just okay.
Ooh.
Oh no! Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! People are throwing bricks through the window. No! No!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. That's not the opinion to have, because it's supposed to either be real good or real bad.
Yeah. Oh no! It's good. It's coming from. It's not coming from all sides. It's coming from one particular side.
Yeah.
And now I'm covered. I'm covered in lead piping and glass. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Don't like, I've heard about this in school. They said if you ever get covered with glass, to stop, drop, and roll.
Okay,
so you
cool.
should do that to put out the glass.
All right, cool. Ow.
Hey, your
ow,
blood is
ow.
Pooling on the
wait a
ground.
Minute. What? This is Ghostbusters 2. This has to be the work of Viggo the Carpathian.
Yes. Because it's the work of me.
Of course. Yes. Talk.
This is bad, right, Gary?
see, here's the thing. You shouldn't be this needy. You should be just, and this is coming from me, but you should just have confidence that this is not a good thing.
Oh, no, I know it's not, but I'm just saying that there's an element. I don't usually care about making people play bad games. Like, that's not something I take joy in.
Yeah.
But this is bad, right?
Gary, it's like, bad. It's bad.
I just want, like, somebody else to talk about how shitty this is.
Yeah, it's really bad. I am quite happy that I had this A with save states, and B, this wasn't one of my, you know, six, you know, one game every 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abject suffering. With Gary Butterfield.
And I'm Cole Ross.
And Abject suffering. It's the game, the show where we play bad games.
I guess we're gonna have to play this game.
Too hard to play and too hard to hold.
Gary, I have that song caught in my head. 95% of
it's
my
really
life.
Good.
Yeah,
guess. It's so much better than the Ghostbusters 1 song, which is only redeemed by Neil Sekierga's Bustin'.
Oh, of course. And also, also that game that you had me play where you made me pretend that the Ghostbusters song existed without the movie existing.
There was just this
song about this group of mythical ghost hunters
about busting.
Yeah,
the I guess we're gonna have to take control is very good.
Yeah,
that's real good. Also, Your Love Is Bringing Me Higher is also real good.
Oh yeah,
like Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack, super legit.
Yeah,
like Ghostbusters 2, semi-legit.
I think we all have a history of like somewhat mild disappointment with Ghostbusters 2, and it's one of those things where like it's not a garbage fire like people might portray it as. Like, I have seen Ghostbusters 2 far more times than I've seen the original Ghostbusters, simply because Ghostbusters 2 was what would play over and over again on Comedy Central. So I'd be at home during the summer watching cable, and there's, oh, here's Ghostbusters 2 again. The toaster's moving around. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is like a weird Stockholm thing, but I kind of like Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Which wasn't the reason why I picked this. Like, I mean, I figured we haven't really talked about Ghostbusters in any, like, in, you know, degree.
It's just, like, I don't know that I have anything to say that would be, like, new or unexpected. Like, we've talked about it in terms of, like, Ghostbusters 1 is great because it's this weird movie about, it's this weird slow movie about running a small business.
Yeah, yeah. And about how awful the EPA is and how our current government is right to shut it down.
Thank Nixon. Thank you, Nixon.
Thank you, Nixon. Thank you, Trump. The Ghostbusters are finally getting their due. Let's end this dump. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Ghostbusters 2 has a bunch of weird stuff in it. I think is like, it was weird that it's a movie.
Yeah, like, it really is.
You know, it's like, let's we're all gonna go down in the sewer and like coat each other with a bunch of fun slime and then hug and kiss and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like it's really really weird.
It's like a weird version of It. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's like the good version of It. Like there's this, you know, for some reason, like they keyed in on how sexy Janine was in the first one, and you're into this like just fucking ready to. Go.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah. No.
I mean, second one, just yeah, like that yeah. NES Advantage right at the clit level thing is just like such a formative
it's
a, memory.
It's so coded. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Just,
you know, like, and then, and I think the only reason why they have Lewis mispronounce Mario Brothers as Mario Brothers there is to stop you from nutting in the pan. Like,
like, wait a minute. I don't hail from the small region where that is the accepted pronunciation.
Yeah. But, you know, it just, it's a real weird movie in a way that I appreciate quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then the game, though.
Sorry, you just reminded me of Janine. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Janine's good.
They're really,
and he pops,
really good.
Bro. Yeah. Like, no, boy, not bad.
Into it. Yeah. Into her.
Way more so than Sigourney Weaver, at least in Ghostbusters terms.
Right,
like,
yeah.
If I'm going to be turned on by Sigourney Weaver, like, she literally needs to be tearing apart a xenomorph with power armor. Like,
yeah. Like, you know, that is like, that's the thing, like, you know, her wandering around in that space station. Yep, okay, cool, that's
yeah.
good. But
if she doesn't look like I could smell her from a mile away from like tear sweat,
yeah,
then like, you know, and like toughness girl sweat, like,
right,
I just don't, you know, it doesn't do too much for me. But the you know, Annie Potts any day.
Yeah, like Sigourney Weaver is definitely in like her working girl milieu with this, where it's just like she is kind of like played up in that weird 80s style, like semi plainness that, like,
yeah,
the I feel so gross saying this, the level of directorial intent for like, hey, this is how crazy hot this person is supposed to be is communicated almost entirely by the music, which is always some kind of like weird little twinkly synth that is playing up and
down.
Yeah,
and how thirsty Peter is.
Oh, of course.
Like, because I mean, you're just kind of like, everyone lusts after this person, so
yeah.
They're supposed to be, but Janine has always been the secret sash, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and but the toaster dances and stuff, like a bunch of weird stuff happens.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
good. I like that it deals directly with a consequence that you wouldn't expect from the first one, which is just like, what do we do with all this shit? You know, like the when they eventually, oh no, that happens at the end of the first one,
yeah,
where they
yeah.
open up the containment thing. This one is just about like unforeseen slime, like a real Deus Ex slime kind of.
Well,
Deus Ex Muxina. Yeah.
Yeah. No, what I love about Ghostbusters 2 is that they are reduced to the station of doing children's parties because
yeah,
of
the
collateral damage. Yeah. Like that is such a good like kind of fall from grace. Like, they were the heroes. They're the ones that you called. They saved New York. But because of just the awful consequences of, again, them doing this thing in a kind of real world, it busted them down to where they had to pay the bills by doing that.
Mm-hmm. which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know. But we got to talk about this game, which for a long time, you know, if you put a gun to my head and I didn't remember the X-Men NES game, I would have said it's like the worst Nintendo game. And this game is really, really bad.
Yeah, it's no good. And I'm going to say something weird here. I think that the first Ghostbusters game is better than this.
I like the first Ghostbusters game a lot. I don't know if we've talked about this, but like, I like the first Ghostbusters game. Like the sim parts of it are really imaginative and cool, and that was on fucking Atari, dog. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah, I love driving around and upgrading my Ecto-1. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pray that's what the car is called, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah, I think Ecto-2 is the car from the second one, and then they get Ecto-3 in the toys and it's a helicopter.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I think that's Marine Ecto is the helicopter.
the amphibious vehicle for amphibious assaults. when you put on your Arctic Attack Peter Venkman
toys. God, all of those toys really threw me off because the toys were based on the animated series, and so like the Egon, because I was an Egon kid when I was little. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm more of a Peter Venkman kind of guy now, but Egon was my jam. But in the cartoon, he had that weird like big blonde bouffant.
Yeah,
yeah. Which didn't that like that isn't a Harold Ramis. That's not what Harold Ramis looks like.
Yeah, why did they do that? Because they had enough other, like, all the other ones were kind of reasonable caricatures, and it wasn't like they, you know, it would be hard to tell them apart at a distance,
right?
You know, I just he's the thin one, Like, I mean, he would have been fine just being the thin one with glasses.
Yeah, he's the thin one with hair.
Like, yeah,
and then you have the medium one with thinning hair, and you've got the kind of stockier one with hair.
Yeah, you've got Rondo.
Yeah, you've got the stockier one who believes this Rondo. Shit.
And then the other one that you can tell apart.
I've got real problems with what happens to Winston in the marketing for this stuff. Winston doesn't get a fair shake.
No, it's actually one of the things I like about the new Ghostbusters is that like the character who is the Winston analog is treated with respect. Like, she's there not because like. In the first Ghostbusters, it's literally just like, I guess we took out an ad and got somebody.
Yeah.
In this one, it's like, oh, she's there because she knows the history of the city. Like, she used to be, like, you know, she's a subway person who's a tour guide. Like, mm-hmm. she has a reason to be there.
Yeah.
And I think, it's actually, like, much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, did I want the new Ghostbusters to be a good movie. Like a great movie.
Oh, you know, okay. By the new Ghostbusters, you're not talking about like one of the weird alternate cartoons that came out elsewhere or the alternate name.
The real Ghostbusters.
You're talking about the Lady Ghostbusters. Yeah.
I really wanted just to
rub it over everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and it's like, it's not an unmitigated disaster or anything. Like, I watched it and laughed at points. Like, there are things that are very funny about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, oh, this got edited 10,000 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, if it had been really good, because the villain of that movie is Gamergate. Like, it's literally a white guy who feels like he hasn't gotten his due because, you know, girls are ignoring him, and it's hard to be this like unpopular white guy who lives in a fucking like goon lair.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, that's genius. Like, that's a really good kind of meta.
It's kind of prescient. Like, they had to have made that decision before all the controversy around it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, if that had been articulated perfectly, like, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I haven't seen it. Like, I couldn't get up the enthusiasm. Like, once it came out to, like, I don't know. Once you corrected for all of the hyperbolic reviews on either side, the mainstream reviews of it were just kind of like, yeah, this is fine.
I'm really not going to
get out of my house for like, fine. That's not going to happen. So I've just never seen it. So I'm going to take your word for it.
If it's one of those, like, if, you know, nobody, like, I don't watch TV anymore. And because I don't watch TV anymore, there's a certain kind of lazy afternoon that no longer exists where it's like, oh, something like, oh, RoboCop's on TV. I'll watch RoboCop.
Yeah.
Like, I never accidentally watch a movie
mm-hmm.
now. That used to be something that used to be a big part of my life. And like, it would be a perfect movie for that, but we're kind of beyond that.
Yeah.
I guess the equivalent of that is like, it's showing on a plane.
Yeah, but that is so rare for me. Like, I only ever get that like I've accidentally seen a movie thing when I go home. When they do have that on, and it's almost always A Few Good Men. Like, every single time. For a while, it was either Back to the Future or Shawshank Redemption. But yeah, like, I think that the past five times I've gone home, I have seen the majority of A Few Good Men.
Mm, many good men. Yeah. Many good men's worth.
Yep. I've seen several good men's worth of that movie.
Yeah. If you get a chance to watch it, it's worth watching.
The
new one, it's funny. Like, the, you know, you will laugh in it. Like, it's not like it's super cohesive, but like, there are funny jokes in it. Weirdly, like, I hate praising the male lead of it mm-hmm. more than, you know, anybody else because of the circumstances, but Chris Hemsworth is a miracle in it.
Oh yeah,
like, he's every scene he's in is hilarious and good.
It is so weird to see him be funny.
yeah Well, he's kind of funny in Thor.
Yeah,
like, Thor, those movies suck. Like, they're so boring, but like, he's really funny. Like, he's really like having a good time and charming and good. Hmm. And he's great in Cabin on the Woods. Like, it's this weird thing where it's like, oh, Chris Hemsworth is great.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to admit because Thor is the least interesting of the Marvel properties, but you know,
who knows? It'll probably be another couple of years and then I will probably see it on a plane. Like, it's fine.
Here's the thing everyone is begging for us to say. You move right to left and B jumps and A shoots.
Okay, there we go. So we've got that. But there's so much more about it. So you move right to left, which, okay, that had already been kind of codified, but...
It kind of sucks, not deal breaker.
Right.
B jumps, A shoots is worse because you're always going to mess that up.
Right.
Like, every single time. You don't have a lot of reason to jump, but, like, you're always going to mess that up.
Yeah. The thing that bugs me the most is the fact that that your jumps always carry forward momentum, whether you're moving forward or not. Like that got me more than anything, because
like Ghosts and Goblins.
you have these enemies. So like the majority of the threats that are coming at you, you can't actually deal with because I guess the proton pack is goop based now.
It's the slime shooters that they get to coat the Statue of Liberty.
But that won't actually take care of like the possessed objects that are coming at you. It is literally only for grabbing the currency from a distance, like the Ghostbuster symbols, and for like getting rid of slimers. But you know, when you're trying to jump over this bust of somebody that is sine waving toward you, like the fact that your jump confers horizontal momentum to you is a real problem.
Yeah, it's currency, but they also are things to shoot, and then later they become like space invaders, aliens, the Ghostbuster symbol. Mm-hmm. Which there's something about that symbol that could be a good antagonist to bust. I don't know what it is.
There may be like some kind of element where they could just make it not a logo for a second.
Yeah. You know, it almost seems, you know, like it didn't need to be a design thing, like, you know, an Asset Factory Game Maker game.
Yeah. Also. Kind of even more frustrating when you get out and do the driving sections, which are somehow worse than the Battletoads jets beater things. The those levels. You end up shooting ghosts that are just like regular ass Charlie Brown sheet ghosts. is something that like Ghostbusters, you know, for whenever it might have been weird or like, you know, kind of off, not off color, but you know what I mean? Just kind of like,
just a little quirky.
Yeah. That's
off beat.
Well, whenever they make a decision that is strange. Okay.
Yes.
One of the cool things about it is you have these awesome ghost designs. They're not always like these apparitions. Like toward the end of the first movie, there's that Skeletor in the cab.
Yeah. you know? There's a lot of weird stuff like that. Like at some point, a bunch of mink like fur coats come to life.
Yeah.
You know, and like a lot of times they're just straight up like Haunted Mansion ride ghosts. Like they're just, you know, warriors and people. And stuff. Like warriors and demons. Like I turned into Dwight Schrute for a second. Like warriors and demons. Meet me behind the tavern. I'll show you where the treasure is. Yeah. But they're like just like, you know, warriors and old New Yorkers that just happen to be ethereal.
Right.
You know, they're not there. There's no sheet element. The weird ones are the guy from the logo who isn't really a thing, even though they do something weird with that in the new one, which kind of sucks. And then Slimer, who is, you know, like a weird anomaly.
Right.
Like Slimer's not, you know, Slimer's not a thing. You know, he's not supposed to be like a dead person.
It's like a pile of shit.
Yeah. Just like, what if a pile of shit died?
Yeah.
Like literally every time you flush, like you create a Slimer.
Yeah. At one point, God decided this pile of shit needed a soul and therefore could be tormented for all time.
Yeah. Summon the Golgotha. That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
Dogma.
I want to fall through the floor.
Yeah, that's not good. There's also the Golgotha also shows up in the comic book version of Wanted.
Ooh.
So something about shit monsters. But Slimer is like not like, so if Slimer was a person before he died, right? So like one, why is Slimer doomed to walk the earth?
Oh my God, Gary, Slimer is a tribute to John Belushi.
Oh, you know what, you're right.
Yeah,
I think that's actually true. Yeah, because like the guy loved to fucking just like he can fit tons of dicks in his mouth.
And he's fat. I forgot about the Slimer with dicks in his mouth.
Listen, John Belushi had like a 12 dick mouth. He loved to eat.
Yep. So
that's all we need to know. Cut, print, tribute. Go.
I'm not making fun of John Belushi's stature. What I'm saying is, if there's any living person who's at least film persona in both Animal House and 1941 actually kind of embodied Slimer, it was him. You know, it was those characters. It's Bluto.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be you know, I know, Judge Reinhold or something. Like it wasn't going to be somebody else from like, you know, from SNL. So that makes sense. Judge Reinhold wasn't it. I think you have the kid from Weird Science, Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I was thinking of. And that's actually who Egon is supposed to be the ghost of. So it's just that would make sense. So Jim Belushi, John Belushi.
Yep, Jim.
Jim Jambalushi lived hard, drugged a lot, and was cursed to wander the earth.
Yeah.
Like ejaculating on Bill Murray and eating hot dogs.
Yeah.
In the lore.
until he was captured and kept around as some kind of, I mean, that is an act of a fundamental cruelness for them to keep him, like, you know, to not actually like throw him into the hellhole, right? Because he became their mascot. Thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They couldn't, I don't think they could ever get him. I think that was the idea, is that he always surprised them.
Mm.
Like, so they suffer him to walk the earth. Like, he only became a mascot in the cartoon. In the movies, like, he's always a nuisance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
God, that library scene is the best. I love that sequence.
It's a really good opening. Yeah. Like, it's you know, kind of scary and good. It actually hits that. I was talking about this with this girl I'm dating, and how there are a couple of different genres or genre hybrids that are entirely kind of quarantined to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is like, the science comedy, like science revenge comedy.
Yeah, you're real genius.
But another one is like straight up, like that kind of horror comedy is so rare now. Like, you still run into it every once in a while, like the aforementioned Cabin in the Woods, but
yeah,
it's pretty rare. Where it was like around,
yeah,
you know, your Beetlejuice, your Ghostbusters, Gremlins, you know, that was just like a thing.
Yeah, you're earnest, scared, stupid. Like, I'm only half kidding.
Like, yeah, scared the shit out of me.
That's why I am the way I am. I was scared stupid.
Yeah, I don't want to get electric power. I don't want to become infamous second son or whatever happens to Ernest.
I don't want to become a prototype
second Vern, like Invernus,
you know what I mean? Verns.
But yeah, like it's that was like just like totally a thing, and then now it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like the Ghoulies, I think, were supposed to be kind of funny, even though they're repulsive and terrifying.
The Ghoulies? What?
Yeah, the Ghoulies.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies?
Oh, my friend, do a give yourself a Google image search for the Ghoulies.
Okay, here we go.
I'm gonna do it too, just to re-up.
The Ghoulies.
Yeah. Oh, re-up on these Ghoulies.
Okay. Is this am I supposed to be seeing what appears to be a shell-less Ninja Turtle inside of a toilet?
Yep, he's using the toilet as a shell. This is Slimer when he died before we figured out that we cracked the code.
Yeah.
And we realized he was a Belush. Like, this is him. This is his pre-pupae phase when he was getting flushed.
Yeah, this is the facehugger phase.
Man, look at the guy in the cover of Ghoulies 2 who's top shelfing himself.
here we have the dad from Dinosaurs upper decking.
Can you describe that look on his face as anything but wise?
He's here to show you a thing or two. Just by looking at the story that this tells me, why is he drawing the number 2 on the logo on the inside of the lid of the toilet with lipstick?
I don't know where he's getting lipstick. I don't know if that's, I haven't actually seen the Ghoulies. I just know I'm familiar with the Ghoulies from by their reputation,
right?
So the I don't know if that's like what the Ghoulies are, like the Lady Ghoulies, if that's what they are.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe that's why he's got lipstick. Like, somebody tried to flush like a full tube of lipstick, and the Ghoulie was like, "Yeah,
this is a waste."
Ghoulies go to college. that's the third. So again, it's like that horror comedy thing. Like,
right.
But definitely that confirms my point that the Ghoulie, you know, that was a horror comedy thing, because in 1991 they go to college.
Oh, that's kind of clever. The poster features the characters popping out of the toilet, and the tagline is "They'll get you in the end."
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. I love horror comedy. Like, I just, you know, when we talk about this stuff, like, I am down for something that is like pretty harrowing on a psychological level. You know, like I love horror, but like spooky funny is always going to be something that like I love from my childhood, you know, it is marked me in a way to where like I can have skulls on my desk at work and it's not a big deal.
I'm surrounded by skulls. I just to celebrate my Kickstarter, I bought 25 Lego skeleton men.
Oh, nice.
So I can take my little houseboy version of Gary and lead them into, into the host of heaven.
Yeah.
For revenge. Boy, what was I gonna say? It was about the Ghoulies. Horror comedy. That's a big reason why, like, I'd say like a third of the episodes of Tales from the Crypt work.
Oh yeah.
Like, a bunch of them are just kind of like Joe Dante kind of madcap fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that first season one with that guy, this axe killer who dresses up as Santa Claus, like, that's a real, like, you know, it's kind of scary, but it's also just ridiculous.
Yeah.
you know, and pretty fun. It's a cool, like, horror comedy is good, and I just wish it would come back. You know, we run into, there's a couple things that pop up with it, you know, like every once in a while you get your Cabin in the Woods or something, but
yeah, but it's almost always somebody who's directly quoting Sam Raimi.
Yeah, or it's Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, Drag Me to Hell or something like that. And it's, you know, you, we don't, or it's something like the tone is different. Like, you get your, like, you know, like, I think we've talked about, it maybe is me and you, I think we talked about how, like, why does Bubba Hotep suck?
Yeah, I think we have. I share that opinion. Yeah. I went into Bubba Hotep with really high hopes.
Me too.
Yeah. It's just a boring movie.
It's really shitty. And it's like, it's, you know, again, we don't talk about things trying too hard. Yeah. But that's what it is. It's like aping that feeling without earning it or being good at it.
Yeah And people's defense of that is like, oh, it's not supposed to be a horror movie. Like, I understand it's about the ravages of aging, that is fine, but I don't much care for Bubba Hotep,
regardless of which. It's boring, you know, but right. it's presented as like a goofy comedy horror thing,
right,
you know, and just doesn't quite get there.
Yeah. People in the UK probably got really upset with us for saying Ghoulies so many times.
Does that mean something different in the UK?
Yeah, Ghoulies is testicles. That's your balls. So that's why grabbed
is
by
it
the
Ghoulies or Julies?
Ghoulies.
Okay, I was thinking of
the royal jewels, crown jewels.
Or no, it's what Ellie G says.
I
think he's talking about a girl.
Mm. Yeah, no, but that's why, like, grabbed by the Ghoulies, perennial rare favorite. Has the
that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, you're just grabbed by your balls.
Rare loves that stuff, man.
To be fair, like, every single Ratchet and Clank title beyond the first one was that. Up Your Arsenal, A Crack in Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Just about butts.
Yeah. We've not talked about this game whatsoever. It's like, it's just not fun. It's you die.
Yeah, it's extremely bad. Like, assets come to you in sine waves from the left.
Yes.
As you walk from right to left, mm-hmm. as the death spider is on your. Did you figure that out? Like, isn't that amazing as a mechanic?
That's really ill-advised, I think.
It's a time limit, but instead of showing you a number counting down, there's just an invincible spider you can't jump over.
Mm-hmm.
He has like an invisible thread above him that is monofilament, and if you jump through it, it slices your Ghostbuster in half.
Gary, you just like described a terrible fear of mine. I think once I saw that gag on The Simpsons where Kirk Van Houten was holding the taco up above his head.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like, got his the, arm
it
cut
was
off.
The bread. It was the submarine sandwich. I wish someone would cut the sandwich.
His arm just gets cut off. You just described one of my biggest nightmares, with being afraid that when somebody punches me in the face, my eye will pop out.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's also bad. Or that little bone will hit your brain. that getting your head cut off thing in the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes, there's a thing where like there's this like super, super thin glass needle that one of the characters is holding, and Watson's like running towards it. And then like Sherlock stops him because Sherlock is Sherlock. And you know, that movie is about what if like observation was a superpower.
Right.
But it's like, that always disturbs me too. Like just something like, again, like monofilament are super, super thin. Ugh. Just going through, like, you wouldn't even feel it at first.
No,
you know,
no.
Just like you know,
it would literally be like a samurai movie. Like the motion is done and you don't realize you're cut in half until you fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah.
So that's what the spider does to you. And it's just like, avoid sine waves, shoot or collect Ghostbusters symbols with your weird parabolic slime arcs.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you get to it, you do these terrible driving phases that are like,
which are just about avoiding these like barricades that have been set up
and doing these insane jumps. Like large stretches of New York have been, you know, have like
been
the
silent
hills
out of
hell.
Existence.
Yeah. Exactly. Like you just really, really precise Battletoads-esque jumping.
Yeah.
Until eventually you unlock a thing that is like kind of a side scroller, but has more in common with like Space Invaders.
Yeah.
Where you control the Statue of Liberty. Until the most egregious thing, because when I was younger, I beat this with a Game Shark or with a Game Genie.
Okay.
Is you get to the last level, which you have to beat with every Ghostbuster.
Oh yeah.
So, and those are your lives. Like you die in one hit and that's one of your Ghostbusters down. So you have to like get back up to the four Ghostbusters, beat the level, the same level over and over with all four Ghostbusters. Just to make sure all four of them are there to blast Viggo the Carpathian in the face.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. I am not interested in this Activision.
It is one of the worst games I've played for Nintendo.
Right.
We're running up on time. However, Gary, you've seen the game fact for this.
There's so much game facts.
Like, we have to get this. So this is lightning round game facts, because like I'll go a little bit over for this because it's special.
Okay, I've got so, more beyond that too. So we
yeah. No, so the, here's right. here's a little, you know, peek behind the kimono again. I'm under the same time pressure. We record these in batches. According to the time I set out to record for this, we have 2 minutes left. We're gonna go 10, 11. We're gonna go until 5:30 my time.
Okay.
To do this game fact stuff, but we all have right. to get done within that. That's okay. That's my cutoff.
Okay.
Cutoff.
Well, let's stop wasting time. Let's go.
Yes. Okay.
So tell me what you think is important about these game facts, and then I will come back to it with you.
The main thing, game fact by Yoho Mario, who dedicates it to his fan, to his number one fan.
Yep.
Richard Allen Bell, just a normal ass name.
Because I do not think he ever beat the game. This one's for you up there in heaven.
Yeah. Whoa. And then just the sentences on this thing, man. Like,
yep.
One thing I learned while playing this game is to always try to emphasize control over your character. The use of lightning quick speed and sheer firepower will only get you killed. The point of this walkthrough, to help you beat the game. Points are cute, but also pointless.
Relatively speaking.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Yoho Mario.
I have listed the locations of several useful items throughout this walkthrough, along with several enemies. I do not. I decided not to list. What are you doing?
He's got a real hard on against high scores, which I share with him.
Yeah,
but it's very funny that like a lot of his facts so far has been.
But like that sentence, points are cute, but also pointless. Relatively speaking, like, what are you talking about?
They're cute. If you came here for points,
if you came here for points. To the back of the line.
Yeah, Yoho Mario has no time.
I created this walkthrough for Ghostbusters 2 NES in parentheses by using my own creativity, nothing more.
Power up your Nintendo Entertainment System and watch the game's introduction. Pay close attention to the invaluable hints and tips that the game outlines for you. We're back and ready to believe you. Avoid obstacles, collect Ghostbusters logos, kick some slime. It goes on to name the men busting the ghost. And then it lists the credits. If you wait long enough, the story is revealed.
Okay. Gary, so for this this game that is pretty short, not very complex, how many pages do you think this fact is going to clock in at?
I can tell you what it should clock in at, which is probably about 4.
Right.
Like,
no,
this is a 20-minute game.
Yeah, this is a full-on 11 pages. Because he describes this in, let's just say, painful detail. And I say that knowing something about painful detail.
Oh, yeah.
If for whatever reason you did not read under level 2, paragraph 1, scroll up and read it. If you have played extremely well up to this point in the game, you will start this level with one of the weapon upgrades. Like,
it's really intense. It's we made fun of Snowdragon for doing a platformer, you know, step by step.
Right, right.
How did we not know this was the alternative? Like, trying to describe it in prose does not make it better if you're trying to do that detail.
No,
like,
no, it
this
doesn't.
Is literally like, this is, it's like describing Space Invaders if you literally wrote a paragraph for every wave. Because like that's pretty much what the game is like a side-scrolling Space Invaders. It's just sine wave. It's like Medusa heads all the way down.
Right, right.
You know, sometimes they jump, but most of the time it's just things flying over you and then sine wave things. And just like a few seconds later, a third trio will present itself. The movements of the bell, whistle, and stake are the same as before. Their movements are predictable and easy to master. The only practice you need is to know when to give a short pause before advancing. While your character attempts to pass the whistle in its third trio, slow-moving goblin will make an appearance. It's not much of a threat. Like, it is just like describing the game in real time, like a court transcription. Like, he's entered his playthrough into evidence.
I knew that's not what happened. Like, some stenographer just like translated their shorthand and like, okay, this will be useful to the world.
Obviously, Vigo does not put up much of a fight. There are no bosses to fight. All four Ghostbusters stand in front of a painting of Vigo. They all shoot slime on it and the painting crumbles. The screen switches to the front of the New York News newspaper. There are a few pointless words along with photographs of our heroes. You are then presented with your final score, end game.
Yeah, it's a little bit much. Something that I feel like.
Thanks go out to the following websites for politely asking to post my walkthrough. In other words, they are not thieves.
talk about Dwight Schrute. Man, oh man.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Something we should talk about before we go further into this. We know that there is a different Ghostbusters 2 that was released in PAL regions. That was developed by HAL. I played it. It's fine. It's a HAL-ass game. Like, it's super visually appealing and cute, but also a little bit too easy. If you're playing it single player. Okay, fine. I just want people to know that because we've made that mistake before and you've probably already tweeted at us, but do not contact us.
I don't need it.
On the message board there's a topic. It's a poll. Favorite Ghostbuster. Which Ghostbuster is your favorite?
Combo Tops.
Yep. Egon Spengler. I like his dry sense of humor. Peter, because he's hilarious. And then the original poster.
Is this on the HAL one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't see this. So please.
I went over there just because that was it's fair game kind of. But the original poster comes back frequently to say only two votes so far. That's just sad. Come on, people, let's get some votes here. And then Kefka, not knowing how to actually vote in a poll, says Peter Venkman, and the original poster Captain Nemo says so far Peter has the lead. do you want to know the final results? Three total votes. Peter Venkman with two. Egon Spengler with one.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
And poor Winston.
Also they had Lewis on here as well, because you can play as Lewis in the HAL one. But Captain Nemo has in his signature, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're not ashamed, put this in your signature. That's kind of a weird and fucked up thing to do to somebody in a chain letter kind of way.
Yeah, just and if you don't do that, I'm going to assume that you don't.
Yep.
When I was my shitty like credit card scam job that I had, where we're like, it was all negative response mailings. Like, we signed you up for this thing. Please send us a letter if you don't want it. Mm. You know, please. You know, for the actual version we played, check it. Did you look at the reviews for it?
People seem to like it.
People love it. Like the bottom review, the bottom review is like 1.5 stars. Yeah. The average is probably 3.5 to 4. Walker Bo Almsford, definitely a step up from the original. Gameplay, 10 out of 10. Audio, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Are you goddamn kidding me? Like, this is it is so bad. Like, the music in this is terrible.
Yeah.
Story. 6 out of 10.
So the theme that I noticed was people rating Ghostbusters 2 the game higher because it's better to them than Ghostbusters 2 the movie, rather.
Yeah.
Like, or at least it's not as bad as the sequel. Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane. Like, that's really something. Like, weirdly enough, we're recording this at the same time Retronauts just put out a Ghostbusters episode.
I saw that and I felt like, oh, fuck. But no.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We're very different approaches, but like the, I guess like, you know, and Kat Bailey, who I admire, loves the, or doesn't, I'm not gonna put words in her mouth, thinks this is not a bad game either.
Oh, wow.
And I think Bob's on Team Gary as far as saying this is like about a half step up from X-Men. This is pretty.
Yeah. I only got through this once I realized how jumping, shooting, and using save states, would help out. Gary, something that you should know. So this was developed by Imagineering. Guess who's back again. yep. Also the lead designer, somebody who I like, we could do a whole episode on this dude. We have in the past, probably, Mr. Daniel James Kitchen, who was also the lead designer behind, Home Improvement and Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Hey,
yeah,
it feels like it has some Space Mutant DNA in it.
Yeah, if you go to dankitchen.com/html, you're going to see a bunch of stuff. He is prolific. He's one of the people responsible for Game Boy Advance video. So if you ever watched a SpongeBob SquarePants episode on your SpongeBob SquarePants on your GBA, you have him to thank. And also, if you need an expert witness to testify on things related to video game design and development, video game distribution, licensing and product evaluation, or general software development, he is your guy. And I want to know how to get in on that racket.
I like how a lot of his jobs on his curriculum vitae were in Hackensack, New Jersey. It's one of my favorite like town names.
Of course. Yeah.
Expert. Licensing. Video.
But no, go take a look at his at his portfolio, which if you look under Aver Games, he did several Spider-Man games as co-branded content, including one that is Spider-Man Saving the City with the help of Cheese Nips brand snacks.
Oh man, the art on that though is the same as Spider-Man City Raid. I thought we just solved it.
Oh no, I like literally I went and I did a search on that because I needed to find that game. You can't find it anymore because Nabisco Spider-Man has taken City down Raid? The thing. No, City Raid is still there, thank God. I went to see, I was like, holy shit, is this the it's different. Like you can see videos of what he did and it's like this weird, it's almost like Tiger LCD-esque. Insofar as like it's about just clicking on the things you want Spider-Man to like jump to, but it's all like these like weird quantized fixed states.
Look at the cover of Mile Beer Run. It looks like an Animorphs thing. An Animorphs cover with somebody turning from a Miller Lite into a man.
you mean Miley Beer Run?
Come on, you can't have misspellings on your it's because I'm not looking at the Flash version. Let's launch the Flash. I don't have the Flash 11 plugin.
Well, because why would you? It's fucking 2017.
Come on, Dan Kitchen.
But yeah, like this is we could probably again just do like a season of this guy.
I would like those Aver games look good. It's a shame that those things have gone away forever, and that's a topic we've talked about before, but just the idea they're just being like, oh, those things don't exist anymore. If I want to play Nabisco Party Wagon or whatever, I can't.
It's weird, I hate advertisements, but I want these Aver games to exist because they're games that were made and somebody might have played.
Aver games like are at least like a I like Aver games more than gamification of things. Like I like Aver games more than, I'm always going to have feel good about like Chex Quest.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of goodwill.
Yeah. I'm always going to feel good about the March of the Penguins game for Nintendo DS.
Mm-hmm. And that happened.
It's, it's a thing. It's a
weird game. All right. I need to pee.
Okay. And it
is my hard cut off. Yeah.
Okay.
So thanks everybody for listening. I suggested this, so thanks to me.
Yes, you did. Your friend Eric recommended the Ghostbusters 2 PAL 1.
Thanks, Eric.
If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and you can kick us a couple of bucks a month. And also if you want bonus episodes of it, check out duckfeed.tv/store where you can find up to I think they have 20 of them now.
You can also, if you want to suggest a game specifically, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, as we mentioned. You didn't just say that, right? I'm a little bit discombobulated.
No, I told them about Patreon, but like I didn't tell them they could select something.
If you back at a certain level, you can pick a game just like I did and just like Cole does. And so you just kind of say, hey, play this game and we will play it. You can also get a lot of other cool benefits and get the joy of supporting your boys.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Gary. Go piss.
I gotta pee.
So
next time this dog who's drained dog.
Who is Boo Dog?
Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. Boo Dog is also good. Bye.
Bye. Okay, later, man. Oh, he already signed off. Wow, he really had to pee. Well, this is going after the... All right, goodbye, everybody. You're not going to hear a sound. It's like, this is it. Bye. Really, your next podcast is going to start. Okay, bye.